and a very good day to you peoples of the internet. Y'all never cease to amaze me, the kinds of shit that goes on between the ones and the zeros, the bits and the bytes, the bobs and the weaves. There's some crazy shit going on, and we're gonna talk about it today. You are dialed in, locked down, completely tuned in to the sweet, saucy sounds of Son of a Pitch with Michael Cuenca. That's me, Michael Cuenca, bringing you some freshness, broadcasting live from my basement. Nothing sketchy about that sentence. Let's leave it at that note, and let's get this party started. Son of a Pitch. Internet. My dear, dear old friend. It seems that every time I open up a device connected to you, I'm slapped in the face by some schmuck trying to automate the process of building a real, substantial, meaningful relationship with me. Now, I've since, for quite some time, taken Facebook out of the picture, deleting the app from my phone. It's made my life so much easier, I gotta tell you. But, LinkedIn. Hey, LinkedIn, my dear friend. You have persistently surprised me and been a pain in the ass. And for a number of different reasons. I mean, one of the biggest things that has always, always been a pet peeve of mine, especially with the LinkedIn space, is that people tend to think that just because you're on a platform, that automatically means that you want to be their bestie. You want to get matching t-shirts, baseball caps, even coffee mugs with these people. And so they use this system, they game it even, to try to capture your attention. They do the equivalent of door-to-door salesmen. And don't get me wrong, I used to be a door-to-door salesman, but the pitches were generic. The way, actually, surprisingly, even in door-to-door sales, the best way to actually get the sale is to pay attention to your context. Read the people you're trying to connect with. Take a second to understand the person you're speaking with, and then try to fit your offer as a sort of a solution, a calamine lotion for their itch. And it's this process that a lot of people tend to overlook. And it has serious impacts on the amount of trust in that platform. Back in the day, they would have sentences like, "Since you're a person I trust, I'd like to add you to my LinkedIn network." As though their trust has anything to do with my desire to connect with them. And even more ironically, how could they trust me? What on my profile made you think that you can trust me? Sure, I used trustworthy images. I even spoke in a way that demonstrated some semblance of professionalism, because that's just the shit you put on there. I used to use it as a CV, just hit the PDF output, and then boom, you get yourself a frouche LinkedIn CV that stands out. Right. But this notion of trust, how can you portend to trust someone when you've never interacted with them? You've never taken the time to have a conversation or to even open a conversation. Now, I know in people's defense, LinkedIn makes it really easy to just mash your fist on the keyboard and hit the connect with this person button. And then sends them some generic message and says, "Hey, this schmuck wants to add you to their Rolodex because they trust you." Well, you can only take a platform so far. And, you know, while I do lay some of the blame on the shoulders of LinkedIn, I do think it's people's responsibility to ensure that the relationships they build, both online and offline, start with a fundamental sense of curiosity, of respect, of support, and of giving. And only when you actually approach relationships from a genuine, I want to learn more about you approach, when you really genuinely and sincerely want to connect with someone, that's the moment that you can actually start cultivating real connections. And then, and only then, can you start talking about things like trust and its cousin, reciprocity. And that brings me to a little subject that I've always been curious about in the last, since I've done my master's. I remember I had this one professor who basically they ripped him out of the field and put him as a professor in Ottawa when I went to Carleton University. Studied international affairs. He was a he worked at NIPSIA, the Norman Patterson School for International Affairs. Pretty well-known school there. All that to say is that basically we started talking about the notions of social capital. And this is in a context of international development. Now, social capital is a tricky thing. It's not like, well, it's not unlike other forms of capital, but it's very special. And it's special because social capital helps enhance bonds of what Robert Putnam, social capital's figurehead, I would say, called bonds of trust and reciprocity. It helps grease the wheels in making solid, lasting, meaningful connections with people, and then to build and cultivate longer term, more profitable, more gainful connections. But the start always has to be genuine. And so what do I mean by social capital? What is social capital here, and how can it actually be useful in the context of connecting with some randos on LinkedIn? Or how can we change our perspective using the lenses of social capital to influence how we connect and what we say when we connect? And even more so, what role does trust and reciprocity play in building meaningful relationships on and offline? I've been thinking about this a lot this week. I thought I might want to dive in a little bit and share some of that thinking with you. And so, what do I mean when I'm talking about things like social capital, especially with respect to LinkedIn? It's a good example on social media. Basically, social capital is essentially networks that have shared norms, values, understandings, a shared sort of connection with each other that facilitates cooperation within or among the groups that people are in. These sort of networks are real world links between groups or people. Some examples of social capital include things like when someone opens a door for someone, or returns a lost item to a stranger, gives someone directions, loans something without a contract, and anything else that's helpful between people, even if they don't know each other. It's the implicit. It's sort of like, in my head, I imagine, when I first learned about social capital, it was like a small town kind of chillness to it. In Dutch, they call it gezelligheid. It's translated to mean coziness, which doesn't actually translate the concept well. It's a sense of social capital, of sort of friendliness, of, you know, we're all in this together kind of vibe that just wants to help other people and make the space around them feel good. Like, I'll give a side anecdote. What happens I read a while ago in, I think, Tools of Titans, Tim Ferriss, where there's this Olympic athlete. She's like, I want to go first all the time, but not in the way you would expect. She wants to be the first one to smile, the first one to say hi, the first one to go out and have a positive impact on the world around them. And I began to mirror that positivity as well. Not just positivity, I began to mirror that kind of approach, that belief. Because I've noticed that we tend to be in an extremely reactive kind of society. Things have to happen to us. Like, I have to get a ping from you for me to be able to respond. There's very limited proactivity. People don't go out of their way to go out of their way for people these days, a lot of times. Now, sure, maybe things have changed because our sense of awareness of ourself and others has shifted as a result of COVID, being in lockdown, people alone with their thoughts or not. But I think the main message here that I wanted to say is that the being able to go first and smile or to say hi to someone is something that I've been practicing thanks to Tim Ferriss's interview with Gabby Reese. Really, really, really smart approach to interacting with the world. And so, what does this have to do with LinkedIn and social capital and connecting with people? Well, I'm glad you asked. Always good to have you around. You always keep me on my toes. I appreciate that. I appreciate that about you. But by going first, we prompt others to connect. We trigger other people to smile, to say hello, to respond as positively as we put out into the world. It's very much a you get what you give situation. And in this particular case, ultimately, by smiling at someone, by saying hello to them first, it creates a positive vibe to the moment. And ultimately, who really wouldn't want to live in a city where people are friendly and nice and outgoing in this kind of way? And who wouldn't want to be on a social network that has the same kind of interactions with other people? Because ultimately, friendliness, I'm using this as a shorthand for social capital, but friendliness is a great kickstarter for relationships. Relationships are amazing test beds for creating a sense of trust with others, creating a sense of trust and reciprocity. Things that create an environment where you want to give back. You give back and you get back a lot more as well. And on social networks, like I said, I think we really need to do our best to establish a sense of trust and connection as quickly and genuinely as possible, lest we risk becoming irrelevant. And so social capital here can actually help us do that. So by putting out good, solid, genuine energy into the space, by taking the time to understand the person on the other side of the screen is actually a person, perhaps the concept of social capital, the concept of behaving like you would in a friendly, cool, small town, Middleton, USA kind of vibe. Like, hey hon, how you doing? We used to vacation in Florida, and it would always catch me by surprise whenever the cashiers at Publix, the grocery store, would greet you by saying, hey hon. For Europeans, this would have been terribly off-putting. For a Canadian, it was more like, hun? But now that I think about it, when I think back, it was endearing. It's It's amazing how, like, just that little word would send you thinking and reconsidering how you interact with the world. And maybe, had I been more aware at that age, I was really young, it might have led me to start becoming equally friendly. In fact, I think it might have. But this kind of attitude, like, basically, your actions beget a similar response. So if you're gonna set your automated LinkedIn scraping system to a cold, useless, irrelevant message and expect to get enthusiastic, interested, and genuine connections that might help you in the long run, I mean, maybe statistically, by the law of numbers alone, you'll be able to get a couple of them. You'll still have to work for it. You'll still have to take time to get to know them. And you'll still have to do your homework. But for the most part, I don't think that'll happen. I think for the most part, you will find yourself with a shit ton of terrible links, terrible connections. What good is having 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 connections on LinkedIn if you couldn't really connect with a handful of them and find out how they're doing, or get a phone call in and get them to help you with something? Ultimately, I don't think it really matters what you do with them, but what matters is, at least for me, the caliber and quality of your list. Anyone in data will tell you, you put garbage into a system, you'll get garbage out. If I just treat my LinkedIn list as some kind of a mailing list, or some kind of a, just like Pokemon Go cards, you know what I mean? Like, if I was just collecting connections, I guess I would understand how that makes sense from, like, a statistics perspective. Like, the more people I have connected to me, the more likely I am to reach lots of people. So I'd be basically building my own net of people I can market to, not unlike Facebook or any other social platform. However, in this case, I happen to believe that I always say that I want to be able to pick up the phone to nearly, I'd say, 80 to 90% of my LinkedIn list and be able to actually have an engaging, interesting conversation with them, and or be able to make an introduction to someone that I know. So I need to know that list pretty well and keep it pretty tight. So I've come up with some different ways to filter out the chaff, like hiding Easter eggs in my LinkedIn profile and saying, basically, if you're not a bot and you see this, mention this, and then I'll consider adding you. And everyone else, I just leave alone. Because I get so many, there's so many requests. It's just so ridiculous. And I take the time to read them. I don't ignore all of them. I don't get to them all the time. Sometimes when you're on, like, whiskey number four, you're just like, well, let's have a look at this shit show and see what's going on. But in this case, my biggest thing is, when adding people to your network, make sure you take the time to add them in a way, like, quality, to take to measure the quality of it, and to really connect with people when you do that. And because when you do, then if you choose wisely, he chose wisely. If you chose carefully, if you found the right people to be in your network, that will have a much greater value than anything else. I would rather have a handful of really engaged, really great people that I can tap into than hundreds of thousands of people that'll be like a shot in the dark to see if someone there actually speaks to the content I'm putting out, or wants to connect with myself or someone else, or if the things I post or link or like connect or resonate with someone. You never really know. So that's why, at least in that sense, I always try to err on the side of really developing and building and cultivating real meaningful relationships with people on LinkedIn and beyond. And so the notion of social capital in this sense helps me look at things in a way that helps me understand the kind of world I want to be in. I want my kids to be in. And what type of interactions I would like for myself as well. And it becomes an entirely different beast afterwards. That's what I was thinking. So whereas at the beginning, you know, the internet is a giant piss take. Like, it's, if you think about it, the internet basically, like, the reason why it started back in CERN, I think it was, or back in, I think it was in CERN. It definitely was in Switzerland. The internet, and the first words on the internet, "Hello World," was designed to connect with people. Was designed to connect the network, two computers. Basically, it was designed as a backup system. So should countries or should systems get blown up, there would be a backup online. So even then, shit was in the cloud. But basically, this internet, they called it. And the first message they threw out on there, the "Hello World," the connecting of the world to each other, the notion of connection and relationships should and does find itself in nearly everything we do. And so when you think back and you're like, okay, this is a phenomenal ramble, Michael. You came on, you started by bitching about the internet, went into a little bit of political science theory on social capital, which was thrilling and riveting, as I can imagine. And now you're rambling about some shit about Hello World and connections and everything. What the hell does this even have to do with the name of the podcast? Son of a pitch. Again, coming at me with some stellar questions, and I'm glad you launched it at me, my dear, dear friend. I think, and I'll get to this in a number of different episodes as well afterwards, but I think at the end of the day, what we're seeing here is it's pitching, connecting with people, sharing ideas, getting people to believe in your perspectives is all a very careful, nuanced, complex dance that when you learn some of the moves and you learn them well enough, you'll end up not getting your toe stepped on, if you know what I mean with that metaphor. This dance, this process of listening to people, of putting out quality, of pursuing meaningful relationships, genuine connections with others, this pursuit is itself the pitch. Everything we do is in some way, shape, or form a pitch. I believe that. How we navigate through life, how we project our ideas out into the world, how we interact with others, communications, language, psychology, behavior, context, any sort of stimuli and triggers and responses, how we consume information, interactions, and our environments writ large, all influences how we pitch ourselves and our ideas. And so when you study this as closely as I do, when you read about everything that influences our perception, when you, like a sponge, absorb all this shit and spew it out for clients in ways that make them go, whoa, I didn't see that. The act of looking at our built environment, our consumed environment, our environment and the culture and everything, to influence how we decide, how we perceive, how we decide on the choices we think we have. You literally can mold pitches and presentations and people in ways that you never would have thought possible otherwise. So when I say that I'm disappointed in the internet, it's only because it has such immense potential to connect and enhance connectivity and relationships in such a meaningful way. The only problem is that people are fucking lazy, and doing work isn't something a lot of them like to do. And so we're just going to have to deal with all this automation until the automation process itself gets smarter. Systems like GPT-3 and other artificial intelligence and neural net-based kind of language processing are getting us closer to that, which itself is fucking freaky. But barring any massive, major leap in technology and content creation, we're still going to have to deal with a lot of shit until we get to a real, genuine, pseudo-genuine, automated connection. Until then, save yourself some time and energy. The next time you open up your LinkedIn and you want to connect with someone, open up those three little dots next to the connection thing and say, personalize that message. Because regardless, I guarantee you, you'll get a much better response. All right, congratulations, you, sir, and madam, and amigo, and fellow humans. You have made it to the end of this glorious podcast called Son of a Pitch with Michael Cuenca. That's me, Michael Cuenca, bringing you some frushness, some deliciousness, some amazing sauce, because I'm the sauce boss. That's right. Hope you liked it. And if you didn't, let me know. If you did, tell your friends, tell your mama, your mama's mama, your cousins, your sisters, your brothers, your sisters, everyone in the family, and everyone you know about how amazing this is. That said, I've got some even more amazing sauce for you lined up next week. I'm trying to work on getting you cats a little bit of extra sauce, extra spiciness. I'm in talks with some peeps to get some interviews, some conversations down for you guys. So let me know who you'd like to hear me talk to, and I'll reach out to them and see if they would like to talk to me. Until then, hope your day is amazing. Hope your week is even better. And I will see you next time. You've been listening to Son of a Pitch with Michael Cuenca. That's me, Michael Cuenca, saying stay classy, stay sassy, stay hydrated, and give zero fucks what other people think. I'm out!